1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brother." Paul writes to encourage the church at Corinth and the churches of Jesus Christ in 2014 and churches in the future until he returns to serve God in sincerity and truth. And through Paul's writings, God is showing us how we ought to function as believers, both individuals and the church. He wrote in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, "And now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That we might be secure," I think God is saying, "that we might be secure in what we believe, and that we, and what we believe might dictate how we live, how we respond to life. In short, that we might look at life through the cross of Christ." That's what it means to be a believer, that we might look at life through the cross of Christ. He has challenged us to go deeper in what we know of Christ, that ought to be our quest, to know him better. He warns us that if we do not go deeper, then we will remain as babes in Christ, only able to feed on milk and not the meat of the word. And we get to eat meat when we grow. And when we get our spiritual teeth, then we can process the deeper meanings of the word of God. You know, we control our growth. Amen. And God will give us the desires of our heart. Mm-hmm. He has addressed our leaders in the church. He has called on us to be good shepherds following the leadership of Christ. We've just finished a series in chapter 5 on the responsible church, as God has instructed us on the holy requirement of the body of believers. The church is to be a protector of God's reputation at all costs and a protector of God's people, willing to take tough measures to protect the purity of the body, able to call out sin and separate it from a body of Christ for the sake of the whole and for the sake of the sinner, to show him or her the error of their ways and to let them come face to face with their flesh so that the spirit might be saved. And today we're going to look as we move a little bit further, we're going to look at the responsibility of the saints. How do we relate to one another? How do we deal with one another in difficult situations still? Like the body, the individuals are to be careful so that the name of Jesus Christ is never tarnished. I've told you before that is the one thing that God has laid on my heart that seems to be the driving force in my life. What would Jesus think? Amen. What would he think if? So we got to be thinking about the God's reputation. And now God takes it from the church down to the people in the church, because we are the church of God. So what do we need to do to make sure that the name of Jesus Christ is never tarnished? And I'm going right back to my same two points. As we think about the responsible church and the responsible individuals, is that we have to be protective of God's reputation, and we have got to be protective of God's people. So let's look at how from the individual point of view. Protective, first of all, of God's reputation. Let's go back to our bulletin again. He says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints." Paul establishes an important point here that could be easily overlooked if we read this passage too quickly. Just because we all believe in Christ and we serve him, we will not always agree on everything. And we might not always get along. Do you know that is true? You know, sometimes we might disagree. And we might not always get along. But God says that there is a way for the believers to resolve conflict. He says that not getting along does not mean that we're not all saved. It just means that we just don't always see things the same way. Mm-hmm. But how we settle our disagreements really reveal our level of determination to protect God's reputation. And that's important, how we settle our disagreements reveal our level of commitment to protect God's reputation. And I think Moses is a great example of a saint who wanted at all cost to protect God's reputation, even in an exchange with God. He even held God's reputation in God's presence and said, God, let's not forget about who you are. Now, I want to show you that. And I believe that if Moses could present God with that argument, then certainly that is a good argument for you and I. So now let me show you. Look at Numbers chapter 14, page 123 in your pew Bibles. Moses, just to tell you what's going on while you're turning there, Moses had just sent 12 spies into Canaan. And the spies had just returned with their report. 10 said, don't do it. 2 said, let's go, Joshua and Caleb. But the people murmured because of the report of the 10. And they complained and they threatened to stone Moses. And God was not pleased with their response, because God had shown them many things in Egypt. And in Numbers chapter 14, skip down to verse number 11. I want you to see God's response to these people and their unwillingness to follow after him. Verse 11 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. So God said, in essence, I'll just start all over, and Moses, you'll be the first one, and I'll make them all from you. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it. For thou broughtest us this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Let me tell you what Moses said. Lord, I'm concerned about your reputation. Now Moses is willing to say to God, God, don't destroy them all because of what it will seem to the people around us. And I'm saying to you, children of God, saints, because that's what the Bible calls us, who are believers, that if it was good enough for God not to mess up his own reputation, then it ought to be good enough for you and I to know that we ought not to be messing with God's reputation. Amen. Y'all hear me?
Amen.
Moses said, God, don't do it. Because Moses understood God's mission. You know what God's mission was? That the whole world might be filled with his glory. Amen. That everybody might know God. Amen. That they might know him and that they might share in his holiness. He says, God, don't do it. Because the unbelievers will just just be greater in their unbelief. God, just don't do it. But God says, as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. The earth will be filled with people who believe. And through the faithfulness of believers, others will come to believe. Well, how will they believe if they see the believer dragging each other through the courts? Amen. The answer for Christians should never be, I'll see you in court. Never. I mean, I like the way Paul put it. He says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. He says, dare you. Because they cannot judge us. And we go on, if I get ahead of myself, the Bible says that we're gonna one day judge the world. So we can't allow the world to judge us. In other words, guys, we have a greater standard. We have committed to a greater standard. We have committed to live according to the word of God. And that means I have committed and Horace has committed. And if we have a disagreement, we might need a saint to remind us that we have committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why we go before the saints and not before the unjust. Yes. Because the unjust don't know our God. Amen. And they will judge us according to their way. And God says, Should not be. God established that his people would judge one another. Let's go back and see where he did that. Deuteronomy, you're in Numbers. Go to your right there. Deuteronomy chapter 1, page 146. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 1, beginning at verse number 9. God established through Moses, same guy we just talked about, who said, God, I'm concerned about your reputation. God presented Moses like a God, likened unto a God, that God would speak to Moses, Moses would speak to the people. And God established that Moses would be the judge for these people. And he established a system of judgment for the people of God through Moses. So first of all, let's look at Deuteronomy 1, verse 9. Here's what the Bible says. And I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. The Lord your God hath multiplied you. This is Moses speaking to the people. And behold, ye are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as you are, and bless you as he hath promised you. How can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife? Take you wise men and understanding it, and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. And ye answered me and said, the thing which thou hast spoken is good for us to do. So I took the chief of your tribes, wise men and known, and made them heads over you, captains over thousands, and captains over hundreds, and captains over fifties, and captains over tens, and officers among your tribes. And I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren. Now, there were many people there, but he said, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother and the stranger that is with him. Now, how did they learn to judge righteously? Through the commands of God, through the ways of God. He says, ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. Bring it to Moses. Moses would only hear the harder cases. And I commanded you at that time all the things which you should do. Judge righteously, the Bible says, between every man and his brother and the stranger that is with him. And the same message is carried forward in the word of God. Carried forward through, let's look at one other place in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 16, page 161. Just a couple verses. Deuteronomy 16, beginning at verse number 18. Deuteronomy Deuteronomy 16, verse 18, the Bible says, "Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment." Again, throwing us back to the Word of God, he says, "Thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." So Paul challenges us to live out what we know to be true based on the Word of God. God established that his people would be judged by his people. When there were difficulties in the church, outside of the church, that Christian people ought to consult Christian people for an answer to a Christian problem. You follow what I'm saying? Amen. Christian people consult Christian people for answers to Christian problems. And when we throw our matters into the courts of the unjust, it makes a mockery of what it means to be a Christian.
Amen.
It makes it a mockery. Because we say we're the peacemakers. And when we can't make peace amongst ourselves, and what does that say? It does not say, "Sign me up to be a Christian." It does not say that at all. But Paul challenges us to live out what we know to be true based on the Word of God. "Don't you know," he said, "that the saints shall judge the world? Don't you know that the saints will judge angels?" Now, who said that? God did. He says, we're going to one day judge the world. We're going to come back with Christ for those who are asleep, and those who are alive and well are going to be raised up to meet him in the air. We're going to reign with him. We're going to rule with him. And the angels, I believe that God is talking about those who have fallen. That we're going to reign with God. But where did he say it? I don't want you to just take my word for it. Look in Revelation chapter 2, page 906. Go to the back and go to your left. Revelation chapter 2. Couple places, actually. God says, we're going to judge the world. And if we're going to judge the world, then we cannot allow the world to judge us. You know, that would be equal to reversing the roles between parent and child. Why don't you just let your child be the parent then? And you know what a catastrophe that would be. You know, at any age. I mean, you just think about what kind of catastrophe that would be. That is equal to throwing ourselves to the mercy of those who have no idea who Jesus is. No idea. God says we ought not to do that because we're going to judge them one day. Revelation 2, verse 26, he says, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the saints, what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And if that's not convincing enough, look at chapter 3, one page over, verse number 20. Revelation 3, verse 20, where he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Now, I love that verse because that verse is about the relationship that God wants with believers. And now you read the rest of this where he says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne." He's talking to the saints. So we're going to judge the world one day. He says, we're going to sit with him in his throne. He goes on to say, "Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." We will sit with the Lord and we will see him in his judgment. We're going to sit with him in his throne, see him in his judgment of the world. So if the world is ultimately to be judged by you, by us, ought we to be able to judge among ourselves and take care of small matters? That's what Paul asks. For goodness sake, can't you take care of little things yourself? If ultimately one day you're going to get to judge the world, you tell me you can't determine a dispute about, you know, which bulletin we ought to use on Sunday morning. You can't settle a dispute about whether or not you ought to replace the man's lawnmower when you broke it. You're telling me you can't do those things by yourselves. We need to be drugged into court to figure it all out. God says, uh-uh. Come on. Come on. That ought not to be the case. He said, these small matters, we ought to be able to take care of themselves. In verse 4, look in your bulletin again. You'll notice that verse 1, 2, 3, 5 are all questions. And 7 are all questions. And I believe verse 4 ought to be a question mark as well. I want you to read again verse number. Let's start at 2. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Little things. If then ye have judgment of things pertaining to this life, if then you have things that are happening in this life, should you set them, this is what I believe that says, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. He's saying, if you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, should you set them to judge you who are the least esteemed in the church? Who's the least esteemed in the church? Unbelievers. He says, should you let unbelievers be your judges? I think not. He says, but here's what's happening in our situations. He says, but brother goeth to law with brothers, and that before the unbelievers. I speak to your shame. He says, I speak to your shame. Let me tell you, here's how we protect God's reputation. Here's how we protect God's reputation. He gives us the answer there. Look what he says in verse number 5. He says, is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that should be able to judge between his brethren. He says, isn't there one Moses among you? Isn't there one Deborah among you who could stand and be the judge? Well, God is calling upon us to know that we need to seek out those who can hear situations between Christians, and we need to allow them to give us biblical counsel on how God will have us to resolve conflicts between believers. There should be one who can judge, and what gives that one the ability to judge between matters? I believe the answer is found in Proverbs 9:10, where the Bible simply says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. That's why we don't go to the unjust. Because they don't really know what wisdom is all about. And they don't have the knowledge of the holy. They don't have understanding. But God has shown us how that we can be that responsible believer. We can be that responsible saint. We can be that one who people will think is wise in the ways of God. The one that people can come to and say, could you show me how to settle this matter between me and my brother, me and my sister, me and my pastor, me and my deacon, me and my etc., etc. God says, if you want to know how to do so, then you've got to consult the book of wisdom, the word of God, and the person of God. Now I tell you, we see that God set up judges to stand before the people. People like Moses and people after Moses. And one that I like to present as an example to you today, a man of wisdom, a man of knowledge, a man who was holy, a man of understanding, a man who God gave wisdom to, is that man Solomon. And I think that is a great example for all of us. Look in 1 Kings chapter number 3, page 276. First and Second Samuel, First and Second Kings. First Kings, chapter number 3. God gave Samuel that ability to be that wise man who would be among the people. But I don't think that Solomon had an exclusive right to wisdom. We know that the Bible says that there would never be a man who was as wise. But Solomon, in his quest for wisdom, he did something that I believe that God has made available to all of us. You know what it is? He asked.
Amen.
He asked. He wanted to be wise in the ways of God. He just asked.
Amen.
And we need to do the same thing. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, here's what the Bible says. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before. There is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." The responsible saint prays that God will make him that wise man, or her that wise woman, who will be able to not only discern right from wrong, but who will be able to be that discerning judge when disagreements come between God's people. They will happen. But God says those who are concerned about his reputation will not drag his name into the courtroom. Let me tell you, neither one of you will win. Not really. Because God will be God's reputation will be so tarnished, neither one will really win. So he says, that ought not to be. That should never happen to God's people. So the responsible saint doesn't go into court, is concerned about God's reputation, and seeks to resolve his issues or her issues between God's people. But what about the protection of God's people? Let's move a little further. Verse number 6 in your bulletin says this: "But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore this is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not suffer, rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren." The responsible saint has to be concerned about God's people, and the concern for God's people means being a good example for God's people to follow. Now Paul says, "I speak this to your shame. Brother goes to law with brother, and that before unbelievers." He says, why do you not rather just take the wrong? Why do you not just suffer yourself to be defrauded? He says, one of you, somebody needs to say, "I understand the calling that God has placed upon my life."
Amen.
And he says, and I need to say, if you're so concerned that you'd rather take me to court as one brother against another, he says, why don't you just say, you win.
Amen.
Take it and go. Because I will not let the people of God suffer because of one disagreement between you and I.
Amen.
Now I tell you, God is telling us that being a Christ follower is not a passive activity. We got to be involved. And sometimes it means We have to let others win so that Christ might be the ultimate victor. And sometimes I think we want to put our feet down, and that's what the Bible's saying. In that verse where he says, but nay, you do wrong and you defraud your brother. He says, sometimes we just put our foot down because I know I'm right. And I'll do whatever is necessary to make sure that everybody knows I'm right. God says, that is not the Christian attitude. Because the believers will say, to God be the glory in everything that I do. Y'all hear me?
Amen.
In everything that I do. He says, what should we do then? What should the responsible saint do then? Well, God gives us the guidelines, rules for engaging each other. And these commandments are mirrored in both the Old and the New Testament. So let's start in the Old as we typically do. Let's start in Leviticus 19, page 98. How should we handle it then? Should we not go to court? Law, asking the law to deal with what is happening between brother and brother. In Leviticus 19, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus 19, beginning at verse number 1, here's what the Lord said to Moses, giving him instruction for the people. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy. Now this is where it starts. Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Ye shall fear. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. And if ye offer a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord, ye shall offer it at your own will. It shall be eaten the same day ye offer it, and on the morrow, and if aught remain until the third day, it shall be burnt by fire. And if it be eaten at all on the third day, it is abominable. It shall not be accepted. Therefore, everyone that eateth it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallowed thing of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Now, God is talking to us about holiness, and being holy means following his commands. He says, and when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. This is the way that God provides for the poor. He says, if God has blessed you with a great harvest, he says, don't pick everything, leave some of it. So those who come behind, those who are poor, might be able to pick a little bit and take care of themselves. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Now you see what the responsible saying ought to be about. He says, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. God says we ought to be so concerned about doing the right thing that we ought to pay a man for a day's work. He says, don't keep it in your pocket. You said you were going to pay him. Don't say, I'll wait until the morning. He says, pay the man right then. He says, thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Do you see the pattern? God says, what is it that ought to drive us to be a people who are protecting God's reputation and God's people? It is the simple statement that he is the Lord.
Amen.
And if we say that we are Christ's followers, then we ought to be doing as he says.
Amen.
Y'all hear me? He says, verse 17, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord.
Amen.
You shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. I'm the Lord, he says. I'm the Lord. I am the Lord. That just resonates with me. I am the Lord. That's reason enough right there. He is the Lord. And if we say that we are Christ followers, then that ought to resonate with you as well. Yeah. Now, in the New Testament, skip over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, page 705 in your pew Bibles. The responsible saint, he says, recognizes that to not follow the word of God would be making it possible that a fault might be found in it. Remember, our text says, you go to law one with another. Why do you not just suffer and take the wrong? Why do you not rather just let yourself be defrauded?
Amen.
He says here in Matthew 5, skip down to verse number 7, and I think we could start at the beginning, really. But for the sake of time, let's just start at verse number 7. He says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
Amen.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Amen.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Why don't you rather take the wrong and be called the children of God? Why don't you just suffer being defrauded and know that you'll see God? That's what God is saying. He says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you. You know, one thing I thought about when I read this today, I said, you know, God didn't say that all the people who would revile me, who would persecute me, and who would say all manner of evil against me falsely, and then say all of them will be on the outside. But he says, for his sake, we ought to take it. We ought to know that Christ died on the cross in like manner, so that we might have this opportunity. He says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now skip down to verse number 25. In verse number 25, he says, all right, we need to recognize that we got to watch this, taking the law, going before the unjust. He says, because you might find yourself in trouble. He said, agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. He says, be careful. Now skip down again to verse number 38. Matthew 5, verse 38, he says, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. And that's where we all stand. That's where we start out. Oh no, she didn't. I mean, that's where we start. You know, that's where we start out. You know, and before you know it, you've slipped into an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Well, he says, but I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, then let him have thy cloak also. And I think God is saying, before you get to the suit, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with them twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Paul says, why do you not rather take the wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Because God has already told you that the vengeance belongs to him. He says, for if you love them which love you, verse 46, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, There's a holiness that God calls upon us. That's what he said. He called it over in Leviticus. He says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Perfect in our following. Perfectly holy. Seeking to not be a stumbling block in the life of another believer and trusting that God will be the ultimate avenger. I think that, this is a sensitive subject. And the temptation is always to get them back. To get them back. But God says the responsible saint, because he is in love with God and in love with God's people, will not have that attitude. But he will let God do his work. And he will be perfect and holy in his following of God. Look at just a couple more places and I'm done. Look in Romans chapter 12, page 838. Romans chapter 12, God says, you know what, if you'll just rather take the wrong, if you'll rather just suffer, rather than doing wrong, two rights, making them wrong. I know, that's what I was going to say. Two wrong, two rights, making a wrong. Two wrongs, making a wrong. Two wrongs don't make a right. God says there's got to be somebody who'll step up and take a stand. And Romans chapter 12, verse 17 really says that. Don't try to make two wrongs make a right. He says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. What wrath is that? The wrath of God? He says, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, it takes someone who has grown up in the Word of God, who is mature in their walk with Christ, to be able to heap coals of kindness upon the heads of their enemies. Amen. But God calls on us to be pure, calls on us to be holy, calls on us to be reminded that He is God and that the calling is that we be perfect. And we see that continue. You see that same thought continue in Romans chapter 13. If you begin reading at the beginning of that verse, that chapter, he tells us that we are to submit to authorities. Those who are God has put in place, in charge, to take care of us, that we should make ourselves available to do the right thing. And in verse number 7 of Romans 13, it begins this way. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe to no man anything, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I tell you what, when we really come to understand this whole concept of love, then this whole concept of law really goes out the window. But he says that we need to love our neighbors as ourselves. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that there is... that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. I think if we're going to be responsible in our walk, responsible in our dealings one with another, man, these last three verses really hit the nail on the head. He says, let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to to fulfill the lust thereof. Responsible saint. What does it look like? He or she is clothed in the armor of light, walking honestly, not in strife or envying, displaying the person of Christ in all that they do, protecting God's reputation at all costs, able to resolve disagreements one with another, loving one another, neighbors as thyself, understanding how important it is to protect God's people so that the glory of the Lord might fill this land. I tell you what, that's got to be our purpose. So that the glory of the Lord might fill this land. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would make us that saint. Help us to understand what it means to be called a saint. Help us, Lord, to strive for holiness and righteousness in relationships, not only with you, but with one another. Show us how to be so concerned about what people think of you, Lord, that we will allow ourselves to be wronged and defrauded for the sake of the cross. Lord, I pray that through the testimony of our lives, we might see unbelieving people truly come to know Christ as Savior. Work in us and through us. Lord, we pray for those who are without Christ today, that they might be able to see that today is the ultimate Father's Day, the day whereby our Father, our God and our Father, ought to be praised and ought to be glorified because of the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you will let the unbelieving world see that the only thing that is required of them is faith. Faith in the work of Christ, faith in the forgiveness of sin, and a faith to be able to walk in your way. Lord, I love you today. I praise you for what you've been doing in my life, and I praise you for what you've been doing in the lives of those who are listening and the sound of my voice. I pray your blessings for us going forward. Show us how to chew on the good food that is in the Spirit of God, in the work of God, and in the Word of God. Show us how to grow, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, our Savior. Amen.